seems appropriate that we should say, well, welcome to 08 is where we are here. This is a show number
219.
Is that all right? That's amazing.
That is.
In and of itself. I'm Phil Parr from the Little Ranch House Recording Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. And with me this afternoon to share in whatever I do and wherever I go is Don Patterson.
Hi there.
How are you? Where's your microphone?
Well, I'm right there up on it. Is it not?
There's your microphone.
Somewhere.
Not turned up.
Yes, the engineer didn't have you
on. The engineer didn't. Well, we've had problem with that guy before.
We need to get to Tom back to run the board, don't we?
Well, I think. Good luck.
Don Shaw's here with us.
Well, it's time to do this again. It's been a while.
See if this works.
It's working.
Old dial tune.
Yeah, that's archaic. Proves it's not a cell phone, doesn't it?
Does. The old familiar sound. Ah.
The mystery call.
Yeah.
The old mystery call, huh? Let's see what we get here. With the old mystery call.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Well, hey, fine.
What's happening in your world?
Just, well, it's partly cloudy out here. I think we may get a little rain before it's over with.
Bet you will.
We've already gotten rain.
We got our front porch wet, and then it just quit.
We got a little more than that, but it's cooled off. It's about 60 right now.
Oh, is that
man,
right?
I was down at Gaslight Brookshire's, and, you know, right there by the dollar store and around that first corner and going into Brookshire's parking lot, it floods pretty good, and it was flooded pretty good.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Did a lot come down in a short period of time?
It really did.
Yeah.
It would have been ankle-deep water right at that corner.
My goodness gracious.
Drifting into deep water.
Yeah.
How's your health, my boy?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I've got the old regular heart rate, but, you know, I've learned to live with that.
I'm sure you started out coming today and turned back because of the weather, right?
No, there wasn't any starting today. I didn't start at all. I just, like I say, I'm just kind of weathering the storm.
Just letting it all run by, huh?
Well, yeah, and I think eventually maybe they'll come up with the right combination of drugs or they'll do something different.
Well, you know,
will change my lifestyle a little bit, I hope.
Well, Thomas, not being personal or anything, but do you get to enjoy an occasional cool drink of some sort?
I do occasionally, yes, but not overindulgent.
That's right.
That would be bad.
You don't want to go into any overtime football games.
Huh? Well, no, you don't. And if you had an extra inning baseball game, you'd be in trouble.
In real trouble.
Well, we're gathered here keeping dry and hoping for the best. And
you're all sounding good. Where is Don Shaw there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm back here.
There he is. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Don Shaw.
What's happening, Mr. Tom?
And Mr. Patterson, of course, is there.
Absolutely.
He's back in the Don Shaw corner.
That's
wonderful.
It.
That's and Mr. Parr, of course, is running the board.
Sir. And taking names.
Doing all kinds of good things. That's wonderful.
All right, sir. Well, we'll look forward to your return and keep us abreast of your health issues.
I appreciate y'all calling. Appreciate you caring.
We'll talk to you today or two.
Thank you, sir.
Later.
Thomas.
All right. Bye.
All right. So much for him.
That's right. Cut him off.
Out of here.
That's our first guest.
First
guest of 08.
Apparently, that wasn't the mystery call we had in mind.
Sounds funny. Not to hear the air conditioner or something running, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It seems quiet. It does.
Here. All right. I guess we have, by the way, because all of you, most of you can tell, I have been really sick. In fact, a death's door.
Yeah, right.
I got something that just won't turn me loose. I don't know what it is.
There's a type of virus going around. It's been all in and out of our family, just kind of a stomach thing. So far, I think I've escaped, but I'm kind of like you. Sometimes I get kind of a raspy throat, and you just can't shake it. You know, I'm not 100%. I haven't really been bedridden, but
trying to sing the other night, and I just couldn't do it. So. I don't know. Anyway, it'll all pass. Maybe next summer, stay get out in the sun, and it'll all be gone. Let's do a little email, I suppose.
Yes, sir. Well, what we have here is I have a couple of real short ones. It's just problems. Kind of, I scan the list sometime and just see what's being talked about. that I'll go or maybe just try to get a general answer to the question. But anyway, it's strange that that kept cropping up was about cutting sheetrock or drywall,
yeah,
as most people call it, and how you do it.
Yeah, that
and they
was
were talking
a big
about
topic.
Scoring
the edge and
the edge and then goodness, excuse me, taking a hammer and knocking it out. And that's all, I guess, well and good, and that's the way these professional guys that do it every day do it, except they don't really draw the score it with knife. The sighted guys, what they do is they put their sheetrock in place, and if there's a box there, they kind of make an indention by pushing the sheetrock on it, and then they kind of cut. And they use a like a keyhole saw and just cut out around that box as they're putting that sheetrock in. Now, I'm not that good at it, and it would be really hard for me to believe, you know, a totally blind person being able to knock a hole with his hammer in an accurate fashion all the time. I'm not going to say it couldn't be done. I just don't know how. One guy's concern was the mess. He talked about seeing somebody do this with a hammer. He said it seemed to make less of a mess or dust as it did cutting. Well, you know, there's just no easy way to do sheetrock. You're going to get sheetrock dust everywhere,
yeah,
and that's just the way it is.
But if you got a sharp keyhole saw, you can almost just ease it down through that sheetrock. You know?
Well, you can, and it's half of the thing is knowing where you're, you know, being accurate with your thing. And what I do is I cut mine on the ground. In other words, I measure what you have to, like if you want to cut out for a wall plug, I have the sheetrock laying on my sawhorse as some solid surface, and I measure from given points that are going to stay stationary and be there and to that box, and then I cut it out on my sheetrock. And I must say, and putting in maybe 14 or so plugs in the garage that I did 2 or 4 or 5 years ago, every one of them turned out perfectly. In fact, even some, I had some guys come in and tape and float for me. I don't care to do that. And they commented on my, they could see my pencil marks, and they said, you cut these out on the ground, and you know, you're pretty good at it. And so the thing of it is, and I measured from the ceiling and or the wall, don't measure from the floor to your wall plugs, because I've never seen an exact 8-foot wall. There's usually like a half inch or something left at the bottom.
Yep.
So you would always be a half inch off if you measure from the, but the ceiling, from the ceiling down, after you've hung your ceiling,
it's going to stay the
same. It's going to be the consistent thing, and so that's the measuring. But they do make, and I don't know that anybody mentioned one, they make a sheetrock hammer for you brave souls that want to do that. And it actually has several characteristics. They say it's a tuning fork design. It's made where it eliminates a lot of vibration. I guess they're afraid you're going to damage the sheetrock. But it also has a hatchet kind of head on the opposite end rather than having a claw like a claw hammer. And I think it also has a rough head for these sheetrock nails. Of course, anymore, screws have almost replaced nailing as far as putting up sheetrock.
That's true.
And so, but anyway, and the hammer sells it. Stanley makes one, I'm sure several other brand name people, $29.95, and you can get your own genuine sheetrock
hammer.
I had
one at one time. I think it's probably my brother-in-law's toolbox. but yeah, it's a really rough head on one side and a little, it's a hatchet, it's just a straight blade.
Yeah, kind of a blade
on the other
thing,
side.
And it has a little hook in it. You can actually pull out a sheetrock nail.
Yep.
There's a little indentation.
Yep.
But anyway, so that's that. All right, the second quick thing, a concise consensus again, is I saw somebody was doing a plumbing thing and they were talking about cutting pipe. And, you know, and so...
What kind of pipe?
Well, they were talking about copper and different ones, but then I take it that he was also talking about some iron pipe.
It went on to discuss iron
and,
pipe.
And even today, believe it or not, they make, if you've ever seen a tube cutter, it's designed for the little thin aluminum wall pipe or, tubing and or copper, and you can even use a tube cutter on plastic if that's your preference, but they make still a larger version of that same type of thing that cuts galvanized pipe. I had my dad's. It was probably 50-something years old, and it hadn't been used in a while, and it was frozen up, and I actually just discarded it, threw it away. But
that you put around the pipe and keep turning it?
Yeah, it's like a big C-clamp with blades and rotors on it.
Yeah.
And they come in different sizes, believe it or not, starting at about like $49 or $59 bucks, and then, of course, they go up to over $100. You could probably, that's the kind of thing that you could probably rent. Also, I mean, there's just a pipe cutter like the Abney and Son, our buds down here, have a big electric thing with a big jaw that cuts metal pipe. Probably cost $1,000-$1,500. Also, like I say, they make even a cutter that fits in a drill bit, like that cuts from the inside. Like if you were going to cut off a drain pipe, this actually cuts. It goes down in the pipe. You can buy them in different diameters, and it cuts from the inside out.
Who uses big heavy pipe like that anymore?
I don't know. I guess just old construction. You know, the some of this came from the person who's going to remodel their bathroom. I think it's where I saw the
And they've got some that they can't get rid of, I guess.
I'm not sure. And he was just wanting talking about. And then the from a 3/4 inch to 2 inch PVC snippers, you know, that are just like a pair of vice grip. You put the pipe in it and you squeeze and snip. And I do not have that in my collection.
I do.
But I'm going to.
I have that. They're not. I don't know if they do a 2 inch piece. But they do inch and a half probably, and you just put them around there and clamp it down, and buddy, it's cut.
That's the standard one, about 3/2 inch to 1 3/4 or something like that. But they do make a bigger one that will go up to 2.5 inch actually pipe.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that the tool wise now.
But those old pipe cutters that you just keep tightening down the thing and running it around the edge of your pipe will cut PVC pipe also.
They will. They're just a little overkill for it, but they're. There again, you know, we got into this discussion here a show or two ago or from time to time. Depending on how much, you know, if you don't need an air compressor for just seldom, rent one.
Yeah, might as well rent it.
Or like a power washer. You know, how often, what do you use a power washer? 3 times a year? 4 times a year?
Yeah.
You can rent one as opposed.
Oh, sure.
But in your pipe cutter, especially for galvanized pipe, how much galvanized pipe are you going to use in the future? So I'd rent.
Nobody uses.
I would rent one. Well, it might be existing that you're replacing a valve or something.
Unless you're building a fence or something, you know.
But yeah, some tools are just better to rent if you occasionally use it.
But if you're a new, you know, I don't know if I agree about the compressor. Everybody ought to have one, cheap as they are now.
Well, that's true, everybody. And that might have been a bad, that I have one and everybody needs one, but, well, power washer's kind of a good example.
Kind of a good example. You'd want to rent those.
Right, I would, I think. Okay, now, thirdly.
Or you could come and borrow, my father-in-law bought himself one for Christmas.
A power washer?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a lot of sidewalks.
He doesn't have a lot of sidewalk, but he said, volunteered, anything you need power wash, let me know, I'll come do it. I think he's trying to figure out a reason to use it.
Well, probably.
Good. I might call him.
Give him a call. He'd be glad.
Phil said he's going to be out here this weekend and wanted you to
be glad to come. Well, you know, mine has that problem. Once you start it, if you let go of the handle, then it won't push again.
Right.
So I don't know what the deal is there, but we've got two power washers in the family now.
Well,
so if anybody needs one.
John's probably got both of them.
Probably.
Wouldn't surprise me.
That's Phil's brother-in-law.
That's my brother-in-law. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, and, you know, I don't participate on the blind handyman list so much. I get the little list mail off of there, and I read some of it, and I've never really posted. But anyway.
Well, you tried one time.
I tried one time, and it did something. I'm not sure what happened. But anyway, you and I have discussed this before, and I would say kudos to a lot of the list members. You know, they come up with some stuff. It's really, you know, kind of update. I've learned a few things off of it.
Well, yeah.
And the next thing that I'm going to talk about is, I guess I've seen this, but I never paid. But anyway, somebody that was doing the plumbing product using this PEX, P-E-X, pipe. And so I
don't even know what it is.
Well, there were several posts talking about it and all that. And I said, you know I've seen it, but I didn't exactly know. Anyway, so I went to Google and Googled it and came up with a lot of stuff. So I thought we would tell everybody kind of what it is.
All right.
It's anymore. It's acceptable in most places. It meets all building codes, and it is excellent for plumbing and or radiant heating systems, I think I'm going to say, and then even places that have manifold water distributing systems where all of the water comes from a
given point. Is this some kind of flexible?
It comes in 50-foot rolls, I think, and or 20 kind of coils, and or 20-foot long straight joints. And it can be used in a concrete slab. The only thing is you have to put it in a sleeve when you're coming out of the slab. And I'm not sure why, copper, you just bring copper out, rolled copper you put. But it's the advantages of it is you can run it in a lot of different directions and bend it here and there, and you don't have to use as many connectors. It comes in the standard copper pipe sizes, so starting from about a quarter inch or half inch up to, I don't know if it said 2 inches. I don't think you can get it to an inch, maybe 1 inch or inch and a quarter. It's acceptable. Like I say, it meets all the building codes. It'll stand temperatures of 200 degrees hot.
Whoa.
And or sub-freezing. In fact, it expands. If water freezes in it, it can take a lot of stress.
So would they use this for the Freon in your central air unit?
I don't know. I don't think so. And I'm not sure about natural gas, but I'll say this. It's when they did my gas, I have one propane line in my house that I fixed for my fireplace so we could have the gas logs, and it was in a row. That guy put that in. It's in one section, one piece. There's no joints in between it, and it's just kind of like a rolled pipe, and I'm not sure if that's what it is. So a lot of the manufacturers color code this, which I think is really neat. Like you could have yellow for the hot water line and red for the cold or blue for the cold, and you'd always.
Yeah.
And it uses a couple of different kind of connectors, compression type. You can use a crimping tool, or you can use, and they call them grab joints. I don't know what the technical name. It's something when you tighten, as you tighten it on the pipe, it is boring into the pipe and getting it tighter. I mean, it tightens up itself on the end. I think the neat thing is that you can use it safely in walls and in concrete slabs and any underground. Like, man, think about it. I labored over, a lot of people don't like to do plumbing even with PVC pipe, although it's easy to connect, but measuring and cutting. Is this going to be long enough? And you always wind up cutting a piece too short.
And always don't have a part you need.
You never cut them too long. Always, they're about 2 inches short. this, you just, what a sprinkler system. Like, I did my own sprinkler system, and boy, if I'd have known about this at the time, I mean, you just, now I do not know how you work out with T's, taking off, but it says like for manifolds, so you would go in two or three different directions, as in a sprinkler system.
So they must make T's for it.
They must make fittings for it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's I saw that on the list, and I really learned something. And there, you can just type in PEX tubing if you're interested. And, man, you can find all kind of questions and answers about it.
It's called PEX?
PEX. It's polyethylene something or other.
Oh.
Anyway, it's kind of neat. I believe
they use that in my Freon. They don't use Freon anymore, but whatever they use. My coolant line, there's some kind of pipe there that I never had seen before.
Okay.
And that's got to be what it is.
Right. And like I say, I know they've been using something similar in tools, in sprinkler systems.
Yeah.
And this is a European product. Actually, they use more of it in Europe, and then it started in about the 1960, and it came over, it was invented by a guy named Ingalls, of all things. European, and then it started getting popular in the U.S. in about 1980. And in
so
most,
we're a little behind time.
As usual. And, we were too busy consuming all the oil.
Too busy doing, using all the oil.
Anyway, so it meets most building codes. So if the do-it-yourself plumber ought to just love the heck out of this.
Yeah, right? This guy we had on 2 weeks ago that had built his shower down in the basement.
Uh-huh.
He should have used this. He should know about this.
He's probably still busy with a jackhammer.
Oh, he was one of the most ambitious folks I ever ran across. Yeah. He was He was into doing stuff.
I had trouble sleeping that night after we talked and worrying about the, you know, thinking about what if that was me.
Yeah,
and
I'm just glad it wasn't.
Yeah, the nerve of doing that job.
Well,
man.
I forget that guy's name, whatever it was, but he was really ambitious. He'd not, you know, and he's trying to keep his wife happy.
Right. That'll get you in trouble.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a little short break, and our guest today is a fellow that's been on before named Ron Yearns. We think he lives in Missouri, but we're not sure. We'll ask him in a minute. Be right back. Don Patterson's in the house along with Don Shaw and Phil Parr, and our little show is called The Blind Handyman. Hang on. Music that is.
He probably that's not sick of the saxophone.
That's not
too.
Kenny G. It's, anyway, we let's see. Shaw, do I not have you up? There we are.
Yeah,
we are.
Okay.
Determined to not have somebody today, aren't we? Anyway, we're back to the Blind Handy Man. Our guest is Ron Yearns, and how are you, sir?
Real good day.
You've been on once or twice before. Seemed like I recognize your name and your voice.
Yes.
And but I've forgotten. You have to refresh our memory. Where are you? Where's your home?
I am in Independence, Missouri now.
Independence, Missouri now, and you were somewhere else before.
In Springfield, right?
A place called Warrensburg.
Okay.
So you've moved. Lots of things going on in your life, huh?
Yeah, a couple of things here and there.
And of course, if you have a new house, that means you got to do new things, right?
That's right.
And you got to have a new wife too to have a new house.
That's the way it works.
A new wife. I don't want one of them. I'm gonna keep the one I got. I finally got her trained, or she's got me trained pretty good.
Yeah. Well.
And we do all right. But you have moved houses, and so it's time to start all that stuff over, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, took me 30 years on the other one.
Is that right? Well,
I'll have time.
I hope
I'll only be 80 something then.
I hope to live another 30 years.
Actually, I'll be hitting 90 by then.
If you live another 30 years, so you're about 60?
I'll be 60 in May, yeah.
60 in May.
Right.
Well, what did you do? We've asked you all this before, but we've forgotten. What did you do when you worked for a living?
Well, some people wouldn't call it work. They called it fun, but I was an electrical maintenance supervisor at the university.
Uh-huh.
And after I retired, I did upholstery work, furniture repair.
I do remember now.
Yeah.
I do remember now, and but you decided right quick you couldn't make a living doing that.
Well, there's lots of good pensions around there, but I'm still going to try and get back into it.
Yeah.
Once I get things put together here.
Really? Going to open a little shop?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I kind of took over the basement which was partially finished and has the garage. And so I got my office down here in my shop. First time I had a carpeted shop. That's pretty nice.
Yes, that'd be nice.
That'd be a little different.
Yeah.
Carpeted shop. What? And you? Do you have a degree? Did you get a degree in all this, or just fall into it?
Oh, I actually taught school way back many years ago. Taught industrial arts, they called it.
That right.
And
yeah.
I got a master's while I was working at the university.
Well, that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a deal,
yeah,
and that couldn't hurt along the way to have that.
A master's in what, electrical engineering?
No, it was an education degree.
And that was long before you even considered losing your eyesight.
Oh, well, I had this progressive thing. I knew back when I was a teenager that it would go eventually.
Yeah, really? But you never think about it till it goes, I guess, do you?
Well, not too much.
Did you have RP, Ron?
What, did you have RP?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, the teaching school, did you teach long enough to retire from that? That's not a bad profession to be in.
Well, it depends on your outlook. I taught 2.5 glorious years before I booked out of it.
2.5 glorious years, they were.
Well, see, some people don't take to it, Ron.
No, but I did work at the university long enough. I got state retirement from there.
That's right. Good.
Yeah,
right. And you want that state retirement. That's one thing you want. We know about that.
Yeah, it worked real good.
We got some. That was the state of Missouri.
That's correct.
Retirement. Well, that's good. Sounds like everything's going good. But you've made the move, so now it's time to do what? What sorts of projects do we have to do with the new house?
Well, some of the things I've done this summer, besides building the shed to put storage things in.
Yeah.
I don't know how it compares with the other guys. This one's 10 by 18.
Yeah.
Kind of slab, concrete slab and conventional walls and roof. No, nothing exciting there.
So you had the slab poured and you went on from there.
Yeah. Well, I dug some sort of footings, if you want to call them piers, on the corners and the ends.
Uh-huh.
Of course, our lot is kind of hilly, so it's kind of hillside, and I had to, one side's level with the ground, the other side was like 14 inches, so I had to do some forming work to put the concrete in.
Really?
Had four guys come and help do that. That worked all right.
And
in the rains.
Y'all didn't pour the concrete yourself, did you?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Well, sure.
Oh, you got more nerve.
Yeah,
than
it's a
you
big
got,
project.
You got more nerve. Don, you tried that one time, didn't you, Patterson?
I've done enough to know that I did not want to do it for a living.
Oh, it is no fun. But like I said, I had four guys helping, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that can handle that size.
Yeah.
And you get the form ready, so you don't have anything to do other than just mess with the concrete. Of course, it had been raining, so I had to build a wooden chute with a sheet of strand board, actually, and a couple of two-bys on the side and hanging on the end of their chute because theirs wouldn't quite reach.
13 feet is about all you get out of them.
Is that right?
I think he said 18 or something like that.
Yeah.
Going like 22, so it still worked.
And so you had to build a chute to get the concrete the rest of the way.
Yeah. But it was enough of a drop where you just take a rake or something and bring it on down.
Yeah. And then, but then troweling it off wouldn't be, I don't see how a blind guy could do that. Like you said, you had help, right?
Yeah, he had help. He even had a bull float, this one guy, so that, and you know, we're talking a shed. We're not laying tile in there.
Yeah. He had a bull float. What is that?
Oh, it's float, I don't know, maybe 18 inches by 2 foot with a real long handle. You just skim clear across it.
Okay.
That would help a lot.
That would help a lot.
You kind of join it out in the middle, too, so it, you know, you don't have to worry about it. It keeps itself level, more or less.
Oh, really? Yeah, that'd be pretty handy.
Yeah, it worked pretty good.
But did he leave that when he left? I guess he took that with him, probably.
Well, yeah, he took that. And, you know, as it dries, then you can throw a piece of plywood out there and get out there and hand trowel anymore you want to do.
But like you said, you weren't going to lay tile on it. It was a shed or a shop or...
Yeah, that's right.
What, and you're just going to use it for storage?
Yep.
And then you put plates down and went on from there.
Yeah, right. Just built, I bought 7-foot studs, which I didn't realize they made them anywhere. But
I didn't either.
Home Depot sells 7-foot pre-cut?
Yeah, they're pre-cut, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the time you put your plate on the bottom and your top two boards on top, you've got an 8-foot wall.
Well, now,
right.
They make the pre-cut studs, and then they sell 7-foot tubifores.
Right.
Which works real good in a lot of basements, you know, where you've only got like a 7-foot ceiling anyway.
Right.
I never saw a 7-foot. I thought everything was 8 and 12 and 16.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought.
But the Home Depot here does that, which was fine because I didn't want a real tall shed. Although I may regret that, not having that other shelf. But anyway, it's worked pretty good.
Yeah, 7 foot would be high enough, I guess.
So you put your plate down, and then you built a little wall and stood it up and tacked it down to the plate and went on from there.
Yeah, well, I put foundation bolts in the cement.
Yeah.
And drilled holes.
Hold the plate down.
Yep.
And
yep, put what they call oriented strand board, and then I put vinyl siding over that.
I don't know if I know what is strand board. Do y'all know? I don't know.
Well, I'm not real sure how it's made. Are you familiar with chipboard?
Yeah.
Particle board, similar?
It's similar, only this is kind of they put it in long strands rather than big chunk chips.
Okay.
And just glue it all together.
Yeah. I mean, it's a process. Yeah, it's more glue than anything.
It's a glue board like it's on my shop. If you don't like the top layer, you just peel it off and there's another layer under it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe there's any layers on this. It's just all the strands compressed together.
Strand board. I've never seen that.
Yeah, called OSB.
But that's what you put up as a paneling, as a wall board.
Well, that's the outside.
That's the outside.
Yeah.
All right.
Then the siding went over that.
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't put anything on the inside. I just built shelves there.
And
but, you know, if you have a long, narrow building, you get more perimeter for more wall shelving.
Yeah.
And that's one reason I kind of went that direction. And then I put a partition down the middle to hang ladders on.
Yeah, since it's storage, that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, it gives you just enough space to kind of walk down between and get what you want rather than have to dig stuff out all the time.
Oh, well, yeah. My storeroom is a little square affair, and there's no way to arrange it where you don't have to go in there and look, you know. You could set fire to everything in there and nobody would give a damn. I don't know why we keep it. I have no idea.
Well, the problem, too, sometimes with storerooms, no matter what their configuration is, you know, I have boxes from when I moved from Tomball to here, how low these many years, 10 or 12, that's never been unpacked.
Wow.
And I just keep moving them, you know, moved them from Tomball to Allendale, moved from Allendale to here, and they're still got their little labels on them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm one of them pack rats. I figure, hey, if I bought it once and had to use it, I'll need another one, so I'm going to keep that second one.
Well, yeah, and that's good. We have Don Shaw here. If he doesn't use it in a year, he throws it away.
That's right. It's history.
That's costly. But I also, then I did some electrical work. Of course, I'm in, you know, an outlet here and switches and lights. But they had this FEMA grant money that puts your service underground from the pole.
Really?
Because I guess they tend to charge most people to get that extra.
Yeah, if you can get...
You know, we'll do it for free, but you got to put in a new meter can. And the wire from the meter, they didn't think was good enough. It was in pretty decent shape.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I got into that, and the old entrance box didn't have enough capacity in terms of breaker space. So I just bought a new box and put it to the side of it and kept the old one there and just fed it out of the new one.
Yeah.
Put that all in. That was kind of a long, hot day doing that.
I bet.
And then in the process of doing that, I found out that they grounded the panel boxes in this subdivision to the water pipes, which in my case is clear across the garage.
Okay.
In reality, you want your grounding thing as close to the panel box as you can get it. Normally, it's right under the meter.
Well, it's just a ground rod to run into the meter.
Yeah.
I think that's been discussed on the list a while back, hasn't
it? But they didn't do that. They ran a wire in the slab across to the water pipes.
Well, it wasn't in the slab. It was in the ceiling.
Oh, my.
Couldn't come down the wall in. At least they hooked it on the correct side of the meter. So normally you're not going to have somebody taking the pipes loose and disconnecting it. But I just decided yesterday to go ahead and put in a ground rod and have everything together like I felt it should be.
Uh-huh.
So that's when I was doing that water jet and putting down a ground rod.
How large of a project was that?
Oh, in my case, I spent about 2.5 hours doing it, but, you know, it can go faster.
They're about, like, 6 feet tall, long?
Well, they're eight.
Eight? Okay.
Yeah, and they need to be below the ground. But I put this one in about, I would say, a good 4 foot, maybe 5 foot, and never used a hammer on it to start with.
Just pushed it straight down?
Well, sort of. You push it in a ways, and you pull it out. You pour water in the hole.
Yeah.
And you keep jumping it up and down and putting water in until you can't pull it out, basically. And then that's when you get your hammer out.
And start driving it down.
Yeah. Now, of course, you've already dug a hole about a foot deep, you know, about a foot in diameter.
Yeah.
So you keep water down that hole, too. And as you're driving, that'll leak down alongside the rod, too, I think.
And but
it works
this,
pretty good.
This was all done with the electricity was off in your house when you were doing this.
Well, in this case, no, because this is outside the house. I haven't hooked it into the panel yet.
Oh, you haven't? It's just there.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got the wire into the house. It was nice. It was 67 degrees here yesterday, so I worked outside.
Well, yeah. Great weather for
We had a few of those warm days. We've got a cool front come through now. Dropped it, too.
I was going to say, it's dropped from 41 to about 35.
How far away were you from the tornadoes that came through there yesterday?
Oh, 60, 80 miles north of them.
Well, they were pretty severe, and then I think they've gone into Arkansas. I think they've had a couple of fatalities there today.
Well, you don't have tornadoes this time of year normally, do you?
Yeah.
Not normally, but Missouri, you do anytime. I haven't seen it snow in July, but that's about the only thing.
Well, and so you got your ground rod down, and you're going to disconnect it from the pipes or leave them both?
Oh, I'll leave them both.
Yeah, I might as well.
It's code to have everything metal in your house all bonded together.
Wonder why they didn't. I guess it was easier just to run a wire across the attic.
Well, you know, different cities got different codes and how lax they want to be or how stringent.
Yeah, you'd think. I mean, I've never seen any place without a ground rod. I mean, I've never seen that situation where they just tied it to the water pipes.
This house, I think, was built in 64, so it.
Yeah.
Ways back there. And, you know, probably saved them $2 back in.
I guess we used to tie the ground to the transmitter to the water pipes. We figured it helped us get out better with the radio station because in the daytime it's all ground wave, and we thought that water system all over the city might help us get out a little better, but it didn't seem to help any, but that's we did it anyway.
Didn't increase your listening public, huh?
We didn't have any extra listeners here because we grounded to the water pipe. That's back when I had a crazy engineer who was liked to do things like that, and I was along with him. I enjoyed it. Anyway, so you built the shed, and now you're going to start work on what, on the basement?
Well, I've been doing that all along, too. When it was hot, I'd work inside in there. I got my air line run from the compressor into the shop.
With
black iron pipe, you know, cutting and threading and all that.
Oh, you use black iron pipe. You didn't use PVC pipe.
Boy, that's been another discussion lately, hasn't it? Cutting that pipe.
Yeah, I don't know if PVC will handle 90 PSI or not.
Well, it will. Mine leaks down, but it works pretty well. I use PVC pipe on mine.
Hey, if I got my air hose unhooked, mine don't leak down.
Yeah. Well, this one won't. I mean, it won't. It'll stay up pretty good, but it leaks a little bit. Where, I have no idea, and I don't care. But
well, I suppose if you use the colder hot water pipe, it would probably hold all right.
I used what is schedule 40.
Mm-hmm.
What is that supposed to be better or thicker? I think thicker.
Thicker,
wall.
I think.
Well, that's kind of your standard for any pressure.
Thicker wall, and I'm running. I don't have any idea what the regulator says. I just, you know, it
I
runs.
I think this pipe we talked about today would have been good. This coil, this PEX, P-E-X.
Probably would have.
I think it'll work under pressure.
But you're not going to have any leaks at all with that cast iron pipe. Is that's what you used?
Well, I don't think it's cast. It's some kind of milled stuff.
Oh, yeah.
How did you put your joints together? Threaded joints? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Plain old pipe couplings and T's and what have you.
Yeah.
Man.
A lot of muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that.
But you got your air compressor far enough away where you can hear what's going on in the shop when it's running.
That's right, yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. Because if that thing's running, you can't hear a thing. I mean, you can't tell what you're doing.
Yeah, they're noisy.
Blind guy is a definite disadvantage. You can barely tell mine's on. And the electrical box in my shop happens to be in the shop, so I can turn the compressor off. I had them run as a plug with on a single breaker, so I can turn it off and on without having to go to the storeroom and turn it on.
That's a nice feature.
Worked out pretty well for me if I had the energy to do anything anymore.
If your brother-in-law would bring back the compressor.
Yeah, that would help too, wouldn't it?
No, he doesn't have that.
But you keep it off, though, don't you, unless you're just going to do some project ahead of time, unless you know that.
Well, unless I'm doing something, because the storeroom it's in happens to be right behind the studio, so you're doing, you know, your radio show and your air compressor comes on.
And no point in running it for a
month. One thing I've learned is if you're going to leave hoses hooked in your quick disconnect, I put a valve in the line right at the compressor.
Really?
Because if your hose breaks, gets a pinhole leak or whatever, air compressor is going to run a lot.
It's going to run a lot, make a lot of noise.
And if you ain't there, nobody else cares or knows.
And, you know, I've had a couple. I've bought some pretty good hose. I mean, paid what I considered a fair price for it. Now, I've bought some cheap. Anyway, I have had a couple of hoses go bad without notice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just get a little bubble in them, and away they go. And one of them, I don't know if it, got ran over or something like that, but, I mean, it was a pretty expensive hose, and it cratered out.
Of course, we talked. They make a little kit to splice those hoses with.
And I had a 25-foot hose, and I got 6 foot of it out there now. I bought about 2 years ago.
Is that right?
Whoa.
You just kept blowing apart.
Yeah, I have
more trouble with connectors than anything else. Seem like they get a little piece of dirt in them, and they don't fit good. And
those quick connects?
Yeah, those quick connects.
Yeah.
I've never seen any other kind. Is there any other kind?
I bought them at automotive supply houses. They seem to work the best for reliability.
Is that right?
You know, car parts joint?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I paid twice as much there as I did down at Lowe's for one.
Yeah, but if they'd work,
But I bought them at this Harbor Freight place I've talked so much about, and they're just junk to start with.
Yeah. But 7-foot studs, I'll have to go to Home Depot and see them. I've never seen a 7-foot two before.
Well, you probably want to tell them, just 7-foot two before, because if you ask for studs, they'll be telling you something else.
Yeah, they'll be selling me.
Yeah, because a pre-cut stud's like 7 foot, eight?
Yeah.
Well, let's see.
It's made to go in an 8-foot wall. It'd be...
Take 4.5 inches off of 96.
Yeah, so that'd be 91 and a half or something.
Well, what have you got to go? What's your next project? What are you doing now? What are you working on right now?
Well, if we could get us a house sold up where my wife used to live, I'd build a room addition out here, I think.
Now, that's going to be a project to talk to us about one day.
You had built an addition on this other house, right?
Oh, that's the one I built upstairs on top of the house.
That's right.
That's right.
I remember you.
Yeah.
I remember this.
Yep.
It got cold before you got through, or something happened. I can't remember.
Well, I just finished the outside, and then I tore the roof off inside in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So I wasn't outside in the snow working, at least.
You're another one of those brave blind guys.
Nervy project,
got more nerve than them.
Yeah, just too stupid to know I can't do something.
Oh, you can do about anything you want to do if you got the nerve to do it. That's right.
That's the deal.
That's the deal. If you got the nerve to do it, you can do about anything you want to. And you're lucky in that you at one time had sight. So you saw.
I've seen and been and done a lot of that to start with. Yeah. I'm going to have to relearn it all.
Right.
Whereas a totally blind guy like me has never seen it. You got to learn it all from touch.
Yep.
So there are some advantages to having had sight at one time. Well, we don't want to keep you. We know it's 30 degrees outside, and you're dying to get back to whatever you're doing.
No, not now.
Not now, huh?
But if you
still
do this...
another shelf in the shop.
If you do this room addition, though, contact me, and we sure need to talk about that when you get that finished up.
Yeah, when you get started and you figure out exactly what you're going to do, let us know, and we'd like to have you back on, sir.
You know, one thing I just want to leave with everybody is if you're building a shed, think about where you store stuff. You're storing it on a wall, so the more wall space you can get, a long, narrow one or something with partitions in the middle, you get that wall space, and you got more storage.
Yeah. because that's where things are going to end up, is on a shelf, on a wall.
That's right.
Yep.
That is true. All right, so we're going to go, and we'll run this weekend, and we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you in a day or two, Ron.
Okay, y'all take care down there in the warm.
All right.
Thank you. Bye. Ron Yearns from, where did he say, Independence?
Missouri, yeah, I think so.
Independence, Missouri, which I believe he was in, you're like, well, you're right, in Jefferson City, which is the capital, I think. All right, we'll take a little short break. We're going to come back and talk about batteries. Everybody needs them.
Batteries.
Everybody needs batteries in something.
That's right, these days.
And we've got a new kind we're going to tell you about.
We are battery-hungry society these days.
Don Shaw stamp of a future champ.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Don Patterson, Don Shaw, and Phil Parr. Hang on. Let us mention our lists. We talk about lists all the time. We have a blind handyman list, and if you are not a member of that, it's easy to join. You just send an email to blind. Let's see, how does it go? It's
blind like me.
Blindhandyman-subscribe.
Yeah.
At blindhandyman-subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Or is it .com? It is.
That's right. It sure is.
Blindhandyman-subscribe at yahoogroups.com or Blind Like Me. Now, Blind Like Me is a list that has no topic. We talk about everything.
Any kind of discussions are good to go on that list.
Anything. Talk a lot about each other. We all know each other. A lot of us have met each other. And we talk about everything from recipes to raccoons, I guess. Just whatever.
Yeah, just everything.
Whatever you happen to want to talk about. And we don't allow forwards on that list.
It's a much better list these days because of it.
It is. I saw what you wrote there. It is much better without forwards.
And something else that's come up on Friday night, there's a blind handyman room that the folks at For the People have given us
we go to and
BS and just have a good time talking.
Did you show up last Friday night?
I didn't. I tried to get in, but they said my cookies weren't enabled or some kind of damn thing on my computer.
Really?
So I just said to hell with it and just just didn't.
Well, I told them I was going to show, and then Robert Herridge and Marie showed up.
Really?
And so we got to shooting the breeze, and I missed them.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you know Robert and them were coming, or they just happened?
I did. I just forgot about it.
Oh.
And sure enough, they were here, and... And so I didn't make it last Friday, but we'll try to do better this week.
Yeah, try it again this week, but usually on Friday night.
Did you solve your problem, Don? Did you get on ever? Or?
No, I did. I know what to do, but it's one kind of strange thing about that site is that you have got to override your cookie handling on your computer and do a couple of things in order to use tools and options, but which isn't a big deal, and it's an easy sign-up process, but...
You just got to go put in your password and tell them to save it, don't you?
Do that, though, after you do your computer, then in normal use, do you have to go back and do it again?
No. You can leave it.
I see.
You sure can.
He'd erased his cookies. This won't happen.
Oh.
Yep. That was the problem.
He'd cleaned up his computer. He'd gone to some porn site.
I understand.
He didn't want Mary or the girls to see
somebody
it.
Somebody to run across.
He erased all the cookies in his computers, and so that's what happened.
He thinks that gets rid of it.
He did.
You never know about these things.
It does get rid of it. All right, we wanted to talk about batteries.
Hybrid batteries.
And the new hybrid batteries.
And what sparked my interest? Well, I had talked to Don earlier, during our little break here, and he had mentioned it, but I also saw a post on the list, and I can't remember who. They're talking about buying a camera, a digital camera, I assume. And they're getting so popular and so reasonable. Man, I can remember I paid $800 for a Sony that was like less than 1 megapixel of, the crappiest camera
you
ever
had. Yeah, stored on a floppy disk.
And we, for Christmas, we bought one of the granddaughters a $69 Radio Shack camera that takes really good pictures, So anyway, but the gist of the list post was that this guy bought a battery and a camera, and it used batteries. It came with alkaline, 2 AA's, I assume. But so he went to the store and bought hybrid batteries, and the batteries that it came in his camera, and I got to think about this, I've never seen these, but anyway, he said were 1.5 volt batteries, and the hybrid, the new Rayovac hybrid, and I think they may be the only people making them right now, because I quizzed Radio Shack, and they said they didn't know anything about them. I mean, they didn't handle them. And they didn't make them. We thought Radio Shack might. But anyway, he bought to use in his camera. They're hybrid, meaning they're part alkaline battery and part nickel hydride.
That's right.
Similar. And they're 1.2 volts. Well, and of course, his question, which I have no idea what the answer is, and I'm not. He was. His camera had an adjustment that he could use either 1.5 batteries or 1.2. He said in his camera he did. And he wanted to know if anybody knew of any other electronic devices that had such a capability, and I don't. But anyway, Don is going to comment about the hybrid batteries and his use of them and how he likes them.
They're the best thing since sliced bread. There's no question about that. Now, I'll talk a little bit about that, but back to the voltage while we're still on that subject before we get away from that. I've heard that even the regular NiCad batteries that put out 1.5 volts to start with will drop in the battery's lifespan to about 1.1 volt. Over the time between the time the battery is full and the battery is empty.
Right.
Okay.
So I think that's one reason maybe the hybrid and the nickel hydride, for that matter, are just, they say they're pretty much a constant 1.2 volt.
Right.
So.
And the others probably have to get down to that. Some electronics won't work if the voltage gets too low.
Yeah,
so I see. So they would start out at 1.5.
And then they gradually work themselves down. Okay. So I guess they kind of decided up on 1.2 volts as a good, just kind of a good general in-between place to be. But, yeah, the hybrid, man, the best feature of the hybrid is the ability. The bad thing is that's always been about the nickel hydride or the lithium batteries or any of those is that they they're great. They're good batteries. They have a lot of recharge cycles, but the problem has always been the shelf life. They just...
In other words, when you charge them, if you go back a month from then, they're run down.
You've got probably dead batteries.
Well, lose a certain amount every day.
Every day.
Percentage
of their charge.
So when you charge them, you better use them then, because if you don't, a month later, they've dropped, 30, 40, 50% in use.
And the NiCad,
you need to charge them again.
Develop the memory.
But the NiCads, the advantage of them was they were good out of the package, and they have a great shelf life, a year.
Right.
A good year, 2 years of shelf life.
Yeah.
So Rayovac finally
But the NiCads developed a memory.
But the NiCads.
So you had to let them run down, did they not? And, you couldn't just charge them.
You didn't want to charge them halfway through halfway through their rundown cycle. You wanted to run them completely down.
Right. That was the drawback.
Because if you didn't, they'd develop a memory, and then they would charge no further than that.
Right. That's right. And the, some way with the hybrids, they've done away with the memory problems, just like they have on the nickel hydride.
Right.
You know, they don't develop a memory. So,
excuse me.
No, they're just kind of the best of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best of both
that's
worlds.
That's the deal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is they, that, and they also, you said, were charged out of the box. You go to, and where did you get yours, by the way, and where are they available?
The camera department at Walmart is where I bought the set that I bought, but they are, you know, at Target, and I've heard CVS, any of those type places.
Okay.
So we think Rayovac is the only people who make them?
That's the ones that I see the most of in Radio Shack. When I ask our local representatives, they didn't even know about them to start with. And I said, oh, well, Rayovac makes them. They're half alcohol. Well, we don't. And so, obviously, Radio Shack is not the place to go. But anyway, and the good news was that you can use them right out of the package. They're already charged.
They're already charged, and they will keep their shelf life up to a year.
And if you charge them, then they are ready to go whenever you need them.
And you can use your chargers, any charger that will do a nickel high. Dried.
That's right.
Charge it, and they're also about 500 charge cycles, you think?
500 charge cycles.
And four for what, about $10?
Yeah, well, yeah, $9.99 or so for four AA or four AAA batteries. Yeah.
Cool. And do you know if they make any different? Do they make D batteries?
I don't know.
I would imagine so.
Okay.
I can't.
Well, that's cool because I can see, you know, that's always been my thing. I've always hated battery-operated things because when I need it, it's dead.
That's been the big rub of rechargeable.
And so that's kind of the best news I've heard in a while.
Yeah, it's a great innovation for battery technology, I think, just to be able to have the shelf life.
What am I going to do with all these nickel metal hydride batteries?
Same thing I did with them. Take them to your nearest battery recycling center.
And
say adios.
Well, I'm going to use mine up.
I'm not going to go out and buy these new ones for a while.
Boy, I'm good about getting rid of this old stuff
you
that
are.
I don't use anymore. That's
but,
just
you know, I don't
gone.
Have much that runs on battery. Since I'm reading books with the Stream, has its own chargeable battery.
Well,
and so, you know, I used to read with the Bookport. And Bookport, of course, it's laying right here. You've got to have batteries for Bookport.
Yep.
And I read with the Olympus or read with the Muvo player. All of which had to have batteries.
And these hybrids would be great for any of those.
Yeah, I wish we knew what a pack at Sam's. It seemed like we bought a pack of double lasers, like 16 of them or 18 in a pack, and I don't know what it cost.
I'm thinking around 11 or 12 or $14.
You know which pack I'm talking about? It's kind of double-layered.
Yeah, it's big. It's a big double-layered pack.
So, all right, when we gave the son the little video camera that Emily bought from you, he said that he loves it. He carries around with it, but he said it is a battery.
It's a battery hog.
And he said he had already gone through one of those packs, so that's $11. But had he purchased eight, I don't know how many batteries it held.
Four.
But if he
two.
Had had
two batteries,
so if he had bought him eight.
Four little
batteries. He could have saved. I mean, after the first, because nothing is
$11
and something charge is going to go on and on and on if he keeps using.
Yeah,
and he loves
well,
it.
Well, not only has this been a great show, but we've saved you money. Is it wasn't really wonderful. Thank you, Don Shaw.
Yep.
Thanks, Don Pat.
Yes.
We'll do it again next week.
All right.
Show number 219 or something.
220 next week.
I'm Phil Parr. We're going to stumble into the sunset. I see," said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. We'll